We'll give a couple more minutes for a few of those folks to get in. Again, good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order, the regular meeting of the Rockland City Council, Rockland Public Financing Authority, and Successor Agency, April 25th, 2017. And if you could, I'd if all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And Barbara, our city clerk, if you could take roll call, please.
Councilmember Janda.
Present.
Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Vice Mayor Broadway.
Here.
Councilmember Gallardo.
Here.
Mayor Yule.
Here.
On behalf of the Rockland City Council and staff, I would like to welcome everyone to tonight's meeting. If you are here to speak to an item appearing on tonight's agenda, all items will be brought up for public comment before final action is taken. Speakers are requested to restrict their comments to the item as it appears on the agenda and stay within the required 5-minute time limit unless the time is adjusted by the mayor. If you are here to speak to an item not listed on the agenda, you can do so under citizens addressing the city council. Speakers are limited to 5 minutes, and the item must be under the jurisdiction of the Rockland City Council. As a reminder, the Brown Act does not permit the council to take action on items brought up under citizens addressing the city council. Whenever any group of persons wishes to address the council on the same subject matter, it shall be proper for the mayor to request that a spokesperson be chosen. Although not required, it would be appreciated if speakers identified themselves by stating the name of the city of residence for the official record. Times will be monitored on the lectern. When time reaches zero, please be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay, first item is reports from boards, committees, and commissions, a verbal report. Is there anyone that would like to start? Yeah. I have a couple, so I'll go last.
Mr. Mayor, I met with the City Selection Committee in Auburn on April 13th. The only business conducted at that time was confirming the prior appointments, and for the City of Rockland, we confirmed the appointment of Councilmember Greg Janda, who serves on the Appointment Committee as part of the City Selection Committee, and he is in that role from May of 2016 through May of 2018.
Great. Thank you. Over here? Any reports?
Nothing to report.
Okay.
I attended the Placer County Economic Development Board meeting, and we had a presentation from the Greater Sacramento Economic Council, and it was a very insightful meeting, and that's all I have to report.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll report that just this week, I think, my goodness, I'm losing track of time, we had a two-by-two-by-two meeting, which consisted of the mayor and vice mayor of Lincoln, Rockland, and Roseville, and our city managers from each jurisdiction as well. This was the first meeting of such that we've used to do this many years ago and thought it would be a good idea to kind of rekindle that. Didn't have any strict agendas, just wanted to get together and kind of catch up in each jurisdictions. We've given some, we kind of came out of that meeting with providing some direction to the city managers that there are maybe three issues of relevance germane to all three jurisdictions that we'd maybe like to have them do some research and bring a report back in the somewhat near future. But those three areas were the homeless issue, the MRF and our waste management, some issues, and I'm going to report on that in a minute as well. And then also the AMR, the ambulance contracts, that I believe are coming up in about 3 years left on those contracts, so it would be another area of discussion. Is there anything you'd like to add? Okay. Then I've given counsel, I served on the Waste Management Authority and attended my first meeting, actually, a week or so ago. And I have a couple items on there that were quite, are going to be some issues for us all. And I provided you each a copy of the actual staff report from the authority, the board. And I have given a copy as well to Barbara, our city clerk, in case someone from the public wishes to see that. It is a public document. It's on their website. And I just felt there was a lot of information in there. I thought I'd just give you the report. But just quickly, two items that are going to be affecting, I think, us as ratepayers, down the road here. There's some consideration of there's a Rio Bravo biomass operation plant. It's out nearby the dump, and it burns wood, urban wood, and it turns it into electricity and sells it. And their use permit is about up here in about a year or two, so they will be relocating. The Waste Management Board and the Waste Authority uses that a great deal, because if that wood doesn't go to get burned, it gets thrown into the landfill. So it's a quite a need for the landfill. So they wanted to entertain some conversations about possibly moving the Rio Bravo plant onto the MRF property, essentially. And so we gave them direction to just begin some of those conversations. No one quite knows what all that entails as far as capital costs and all that to move something like that. But that is going to be discussed. And over the next year, I think we'll probably hear more about that. Of more immediate concern, as you know, the minimum wage, California adopted minimum wage laws, and the minimum wage laws minimum wage is now increased. For you, those of you who don't quite know, the MRF out there, they sort our garbage. They sort the garbage, and then the garbage is managed very efficiently. Some things are sold off, and some things are put in a landfill. It's a very important component. That's all contracted by the authority. And when the original contract was signed back in 2005, I believe it was, minimum wage was $6.75 an hour. It's now $10.50, and will continue to go on up to $15 up to 2022, I believe it is. The contract with the company that does the sorting is scheduled to end in 2020, unless it's re-upped. But there was a tremendous need. Obviously, that was the cost of sorting has skyrocketed because of this, making it actually just unmanageable. And so about 6 months ago, before I was even on the board, there was conversations about exploring that. And then ultimately the board this last week authorized to increase the payment into the contract, not just increase the payment, but change the COLA structure. So there's a COLA component that's built into the contract. They've added the minimum wage component so that it will keep up with the minimum wage increases. And it's quite expensive. Currently, it costs them about $100,000 more a month to run the facility. So it's about $1 million. So the authority they gave them some back money from about July, about $900,000 to get them caught up. But anyway, you're going to see that, and that ultimately affects our tipping fees, the rates the ratepayers pay for their garbage. So hopefully that is clear.
So basically, at some point, ratepayers will pay this increase. Is there any projections on when that will happen?
No. The payments made as of last week or so came out of reserves, and there are some other areas that need to be negotiated, I think, and looked at, too. This was the more immediate one, so it's been tackled first. But I sense we'll have more direction within the next year, something kind of with how that might ultimately affect it. But it's inescapable. The cost of, the labor has gone up considerably. So, okay. All right, thank you. Next item, agenda modifications. Is there any item on the agenda anyone cares to modify?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to make a quick comment about agenda item 28, which is about the Rockland Golf Club. Obviously, I don't know what we're discussing in closed session, and I know that the city manager and the city attorney have met, and I'm sure that meets the legal justification for holding a closed session. I just wanted to express some discomfort on that item. Only because, we've gone out there and said, hey, we're going to have a very open and transparent process. And so I have concerns about that for a couple of reasons. One is that obviously we can't disclose what's discussed in closed session, which everyone knows is a difficult thing for me to do. And secondly, it's a minorly controversial issue in town. You know, I want to keep with our commitment to be totally transparent. And also, it creates perception in the community that we are working on this issue behind closed doors. So, obviously, we leave it in the city manager and the city attorney's hands to make those determinations. But I just want to express my thought that moving forward, I would only like to use that sort of on a higher standard than normally we would go into closed session, because it's such a big, big issue out there right now. So,
okay. Are you asking to modify or pull or amend or?
Well, obviously, I don't know the contents of what we're discussing, so I say let's just go ahead and move forward. Sort of moving forward from this point, that's just my desire. Obviously, you know, you gentlemen decide on what's going to be on the agenda in the future, and I just wanted to express that viewpoint.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Any other items to actually modify the? Anyone from the public wish to modify the agenda? Moving to the consent calendar. Is there anyone that I didn't hear any modifications for the consent calendar? So I would enter, and anyone from the public who wish to pull anything from the consent calendar to discuss more directly? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent calendar as stated on the agenda.
I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Okay. Now, we have some presentations. I have three presentations. And if I could have the representatives from the Big Day of Giving, the Sacramento Region Community Foundation, if you could. I'm going to have you come up. I'm going to come down and just say a few words, and then the mic is yours, okay?
Amy Eubank with the Sacramento Region Community Foundation.
Thank you. Yes, by way of this resolution that we're presenting, the Rockland City Council recognizes and commends the efforts of the Sacramento
Mayor.
Region
Mayor.
Foundation.
Would you pull the mic towards you?
Sorry.
I don't know if everybody wants to hear that from the top, but I'll start over from the top. By way of this resolution, the Rockland City Council recognizes and commends the efforts of the Sacramento Regional Community Foundation and declares May 4, 2017, the Big Day of Giving, encouraging all citizens to support the work of local nonprofit organizations that help Rockland community. Council wishes to draw attention to the near 600 nonprofits throughout the region. I have that number right? Mm-hmm. With 100 of them located here in Placer County. And citizens' philanthropic investments help these organizations make an impact in our community. So we want to extend our gratitude to the Sacramento Region Foundation for all you do. And here's our resolution. Thank you. And we give her a member.
Again, my name is Amy Eubank. I'm here with the Sacramento Region Community Foundation, and I'd like to thank the council and the city of Rockland for having me here this evening and also for supporting the Big Day of Giving. The Big Day of Giving is our region's largest day of philanthropy, and this year, again, it's on May 4th. It'll run from midnight to midnight. And the foundation that I work for has been working over the last several years to ignite personal philanthropy. Since 2013, our foundation under the Big Day of Giving has raised $16 million for nonprofits in Sacramento, Placer, Yolo, and El Dorado. And then last year, $7.1 million was raised, and $900,000 of that was for Placer County nonprofits. This year, again, there are 600 nonprofits total. 100 of those are in Placer County, and 12 have headquarters in Rockland, and there are many others that are serving your city as well. A couple of those are Rough / Healing Heroes, the Rockland Historical Society, and Placer Land Trust also works in this area. To learn more about the nonprofits and all of the nonprofits that are participating, you can go to bigdayofgiving.org. Just a couple new things this year. We've lowered the minimum donation from 25 down to 15, and you can start scheduling your gifts now or wait till May 4th. And also, nonprofits will be able to accept offline donations and can account for those online in a separate area. Thank you again.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for coming out, and good luck with the big day
you.
Of giving. Is our representative from the Stand Up Placer here? All right. Thank you for being here. By way of this resolution, the City Council recognizes April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month and April 26th as the Denim Day, a day and to encourage everyone to wear jeans to symbolically communicate there is no excuse and never an invitation to rape. And maybe you can touch on the symbolism of that. We also wish to commend Stand Up Placer's role as the Rape Center for Placer County. Sadly, but fortunately, we recognize or we acknowledge your critical support of nearly 6,500 services to 391 sexual assault victims in 2016. Thank you for your much-needed and invaluable work that you perform in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council, for recognizing the impact that sexual assault has on our community and the important work that Stand Up Placer does to help these 391 victims last year and continuing forward. We've been around for 39 years, and we have a safe house, a confidential safe house here in Placer County with 55 beds, and we have a 24-hour crisis line and two service offices where we're able to assist these clients, as well as meeting them on scene and in the hospitals where they need an advocate the most. And for Denim Day, a judge in Italy ruled just a few years ago that because a woman was wearing jeans, it wasn't possible for her to have been sexually assaulted. And so just globally, people wear jeans on the 26th of April to recognize that wearing jeans isn't an excuse for somebody to sexual assault you, and it's not a preventative measure either. So thank you for recognizing the hard work and also the impact that the survivors have had in their lives from sexual assault. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks. And don't leave because...
Did we get the wrong one?
We're
going to
do that.
Switch
the room.
Thank you.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Right. Could we have the Mosquito and Vector Control Association representatives come up?
Thanks for catching me.
Thank you. Good to see you again. All right. And by way of this resolution, the Rockland City Council recognizes last week, the week of April 16th through April 22nd, as West Nile Virus and Mosquito and Vector Control Awareness Week. We understand the threats that exist are real. We're recognizing that West Nile Virus unfortunately took 19 lives in California last year and initiated 426 individual cases. Sadly, 7 of those cases and 1 death happened here in Placer County. Council wishes to recognize the importance of the work the Mosquito and Vector Control Association of California, certainly what your efforts do perform, and keeping our community safe, particularly here in Placer County. Thank you.
Thank you so much to your council for recognizing this this week as Mosquito Awareness Week. I'm here to... You already did a wonderful summary of what West Nile Virus was for last year, and we've been getting the question quite often of what it's going to look like this year with all the rain and all the snow. And certainly we will have more mosquitoes. Whether or not we will have a higher level of West Nile Virus activity remains to be seen. Our main concerns this season is with the lifting of the restrictions on watering and things like that. There's a lot more excess water that's going to go into the storm drains and catch basins, and the storm drain system are a significant source of mosquitoes in residential areas in the valley. So we're hoping that we'll continue to spread the message that conserving water is still a good idea for many reasons, including mosquito control. But the good news is we do have a few new tools in our toolbox to detect and manage mosquitoes. I don't know if any of you were familiar, but we do have a couple of drones that we are going to be using to do wide area assessments in areas that have been harder to access for our technicians in the past. Traditionally, these are more environmental environmentally sensitive habitats or vast areas of agriculture. So that is something that we're hoping will help us be more efficient in detecting mosquitoes and in turn managing them to reduce the risk for West Nile virus here in Placer County. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for everything.
And I have some binders for the city clerk.
Yeah, Barbara. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now the next item is the citizens addressing the city council. And again, as mentioned by the city clerk at the beginning of the meeting, this is an opportunity to speak on anything that is not on the agenda. And we usually keep that input from 5 minutes or 3 minutes, depending upon how many folks we might have. If there's a lot of people going to speak, usually it's 3 minutes. And could I just see a show of hands about maybe how many people we might have speaking tonight on this item? Or not, I mean, on the citizens addressing item? Okay. Well, let's move forward then. And if there's going to be a number of people that need to line up, we can certainly line up over here against the wall. And if our first speaker, I'd like you to, if you could, just give us your name, and it's not, you don't have to give us your address, but name and city of residence would be nice.
My name is Danielle Prince, and I'm a member of Black Lives Matter Sacramento, and I'm here tonight with several members of Black Lives Matter Sacramento, as well as we're being joined by People of Conscience and the family members of a young man who was murdered in your city. We are here to address the shocking actions of the Rockland Police Department and the extreme lack of accountability and transparency shown in the investigation of his murder. On April 6th, we held a press conference outside of the Rockland Police Department, and we shared our demands, and we haven't received any feedback, and we do feel that it's the responsibility of the City Council to address these failures of the Rockland Police Department, particularly because it resulted in the loss of life, and that should be treated as extremely important. So I will reiterate our demands. We demand immediate and public release of the police report, autopsy report, and video camera footage, including any footage provided by community members of the actual incident. We need charges brought on officers Chris Osborne, Officer John Constable, and Officer Brianna Adams for their shooting of Lorenzo Cruz. We need a thorough, funded, community-led investigation that includes all documentation of the incident, which has not been provided to the family. We need monetary compensation to the family for the hardship that has been brought on them by the city of Rockland. At the very least, we need an apology from the mayor, the chief of police, and the Rockland Police Department for the way Cheryl Cruz's son was killed. And there are members of the family here who will be addressing you, as well as other members of the Sacramento community. We're Black Lives Matter Sacramento, and he was a member of our community, and we take it very seriously, so that's why we're here tonight.
Okay. Thank you. And if I could catch everybody. We ask that there's no outbursts of applauding or heckling or any such thing. We try to maintain very civil process here. It's intimidating for some people to get up before the mic, and so applauding only kind of makes it more difficult. So I appreciate if you would refrain from that. And I suspect we'll have a few comments tonight given this issue. And I just want to say that, from the advice of our city attorney, I hope you understand that it would be inappropriate for the city council to make any further statements while investigations are still being conducted. And the city will provide additional information regarding the matter once all investigations are complete. And I appreciate your understanding and patience. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Trina Allen. I grew up in the Placer County area. My family still lives in Roseville. I can attest to both the overt and covert racism imbued in Placer County in general and Rockland specifically. Certainly not as lived experience, but as bystander to friends and family who have been targeted by anti-black and otherwise racist educational and criminal justice systems, or even just walking down the street upon a warm Tuesday night. This might be sound shocking or bombastic to you, but I'd like to look at it as white folks, we typically don't get called out on that, and we really need to listen when people come to us and tell us this. You're having an opportunity to hear from your community. You're having an opportunity to look at the wrongs in which your criminal justice system has consistently keep over and over and over again doing. How many allegations against the Rockland Police Department of racist allegations have there been? I can name three in the last few years. And it's a small department. It needs to be understood when talking about Lorenzo Cruz. When we speak on the topic for justice for Lorenzo Cruz, typically in the last several years, we've been watching lynchings in the palms of our hands. We have seen black bodies drop to the ground, children shot without warning, guns fired to the chest without need. We saw all these over and over and over again by bystander videos, by body cam videos. But in this case, we can't even look at that. Why? Why can we not look at that? Because your officers refused, collectively, three separate officers who have been trained in the body camera usage, collectively refused to turn them on to what they considered or supposedly considered to be an in-home invasion. I would consider that pretty high up on the list of what situations in which you would turn your body cameras on, considering your policy is to suggest that they turn that or not shall, will, or something. The language is questionable, first off. You should check that. Secondarily, they should be turning them on when you even stop somebody. So supposedly they were collectively going out after somebody, an in-home invasion, and they didn't turn them on. They all three magically forgot. That's really concerning, and it looks really bad for your department, and it looks really bad for this council. And when I look up at every single one of you, I don't see a black person on this council. I don't see a brown person on this council. What I see is a council full of people that don't necessarily represent the people in front of them and the people that are being killed in your streets, in your city. And you need to look at that, and you need to look at that hard, and you need to have a sense of compassion for this family and understand that this family lost their child and understand that brothers and sisters are in this audience crying because they want their family member back and they're never coming back and you're not doing anything about it. You haven't provided them with any information. Your officers took that window of accountability away from them by decisions that they made. Why? I'd like to know. I think everybody in this audience would like to know. And at this point, you need to figure out what happened. You need to hold those people accountable, and you need to move forward and make the changes so that not every single person on this dais is white, and that not every single action that your Rockland police officers commit is against somebody of color. You really need to take a look at what you're doing, and you need to move forward. This is unacceptable. And Lorenzo Cruz was just a baby. Look at his picture. He was a young man. He was just a kid. And you didn't do anything for him. And you're not doing anything for him now, so change that.
Hey. I'm going to ask politely one more time, please. We don't like to have applause or jeers or heckling of any sorts. Just please, if we could all be quiet and civil, I'd appreciate it. Please do that.
Hi. So I heard you say that the investigation are still going on, but supposedly the police were found not at fault. So I don't understand when you say that the investigation is still going on. With all that has happened, Placer County has left the situation questionable due to we have not had a lot of insight regarding what happened, yet we received word of mouth. My question is, since all three officers, Chris Osborne, John Constable, and Brianna Adams, had no body cameras on, don't you think it's the Placer County police officer's duty to provide evidence like the airsoft pistol he supposedly had and pictures of the incident, like the gun on him and the car that he was in? We have nothing. All we have is the word of mouth of what happened to my little cousin. And so I think it's you guys' duty to have the police officers let us have some insight of what happened. Pictures, since there was no body cameras on, like I stated. Something. Supposedly the car was faced the opposite direction. Since when does that happen? Usually when you have something like this happen, usually you park the car directly facing that person, because when you pull over to the side, you're not pulling the opposite direction. The person is not across the street where it was supposedly faced. It was, the car should have been pointed towards my little cousin Lorenzo Cruz. So why haven't we had anything? Why is it just word of mouth? And I see you smiling, but this is not a smiling situation. So I think you should wipe that off your face. But anyways, so where's the pictures? Where's the evidence? You guys should have some type of pictures of the car, the airsoft pistol. We have nothing. So word of mouth is not helping. And it's, and my aunt, Cheryl Cruz, should have some type of insight of what happens. That way she could feel at ease, a little bit better than what she's feeling right now and what we're feeling. And thank you.
I know everybody heard me. Please, we'd appreciate it if we didn't applaud. Do we have a next speaker? And would anyone care to line up, or is there anyone else? I have a hand in the back. Go ahead. I actually called that woman up there first, but would you mind? I don't think she'd mind. So go ahead if you'd like.
Hello, Council. I'm Cherie Cruz. I'm Lorenzo's older sister. I feel like your department handled my brother's case poorly, sloppy, and insensitive. And this is not over. It will not be over until we receive a report, until we receive pictures of that Honda that he supposedly died in, until we receive the autopsy report, and until we receive the video camera footage. I'm going to forever remember the way my brother looked when I saw his body lying there dead. Forever. And you guys are responsible for that. All of you guys. You don't murder somebody that's down the street from where a home invasion was. You don't take their life away. You can't give my brother back his life. At least you can provide the evidence for my family.
Thank you. Okay. No? All right. Is there anyone else? All right. I see a hand. And
the lady first.
The lady, actually, I think. She's declined. So, yeah. You're. Please, come on. You're next.
Hi, my name's Eric Brandfass, and I grew up in Placer, Nevada County, and I'm here to speak to you as a Marine Corps veteran, as a combat veteran, who spent over 2 years fighting. And I remember a time when we were held accountable for our actions, to the point where my fellow Marines were put in jail, for some of them for the rest of their lives, for what they did in the line of what they saw as their duty at that time. And so many of us, all of us that I knew, we conducted ourselves with a great degree of personal accountability. And so when I was faced with something to pull a trigger on somebody, when I was forced to make that decision, there was times when I did not pull that trigger. There was times when I did not end that life. And it's not good enough to just say they're doing the best they could, because, like I said, I did the best I could in the line of duty for over 2 years, every day fighting. Every day fighting. And there was many people I did not kill, okay? Because I chose not to pull the trigger. I chose to stop and think and ask the question. And I didn't let any fear, and I didn't let resentment, and I didn't let trepidation, I didn't let poor training get in the way of my duty. I did it. And now here I am, and I'm back in my community, and this is really disheartening, right? Because as you can see, a lot of people in this audience feel really uncomfortable here. And that is how a lot of other people like that I know grew up in this area. And many of us left as soon as we could, because this is a very unsafe place to be. And we might not always have the space and time to come to these forums and talk about it, or the right words that communicate to everyone in this audience how we feel, right? Because words are like, you know, we have to learn these words somewhere, right? So, like, not all of us have that power, you know? Not all of us were granted that privilege. So it's, yeah, this is a really unsafe place to be. And this is some of the first time in my life, in my 34 years, that we've been able to come to these venues and talk to people about this kind of stuff and not leave the building feeling like we're going to be followed to the places we live or, you know, anywhere. And that means broken taillights, right? That means anything wrong with our vehicles. That means anything anyone left in our vehicles. There's so much that happens to people. And I just, I'm afraid for myself. I'm afraid for the future. I'm afraid for my family, my friends. And I don't even know these people. You know what I'm saying? I just came because this is where I live. And this is really powerful for me. And I don't know how many people on, you know, out here feel the same way or were out at work and couldn't make it here today, right? Because they had jobs that didn't allow them to be here. Because these times, once again, even these times, right, like limit the type of people that are going to be in this audience today and get to talk to us today. So I just want to open that door, right, because there's a lot of emotions in here today, so I'd like us to remember that from a combat veteran, right, I chose not to pull the trigger, and that means something, and our officers here should know not to pull the trigger. They should know when to be smarter. I didn't have a body cam, right? None of us had body cams. We just did it because we knew it was the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have anyone else? Is that a hand in the back? Sorry, my eyesight's not real great. Okay.
Okay.
Would you mind if, okay. No, please, that's fine.
So I live in Rockland, and I've lived here for about 8 years. I don't want to say thank you because I moved here because I think it's a safe place. I used to live in New Orleans. You want to know what it's like to be scared? Yeah, this is a very safe place. What makes me afraid, and I hear people jeering, maybe they didn't live in New Orleans before. The things that do make me afraid are people breaking into my home and people pointing guns at me. And I know that if I were to pretend like I had a gun and commit a crime, I would be prosecuted. So, I take it seriously what the cops do, and I just want to say I'm glad that they protected, you know, I'm glad they responded. I can't help the way things worked out, but I'm afraid of people breaking in my home and acting, you know, being criminals, so.
Ma'am, if you, please just address the council, if you could. And please, everyone,
so
please.
I just want to be the one voice that stands up and says, I'm not safe with people breaking into my home, so thank you.
Thank you. Please, no applauding. I've asked that 100 times now, but I appreciate it. Please come on up if you would. And just your name and your city of residence would be appreciated.
My name is Mari Down. I actually, my family used to live here before the internment. The Studio Movie Grill and the Walmart and that stretch of 80 right there are on the property that was taken from us. I know how racist this community can be. Generationally, I know. So the fact that y'all are telling us that we can't even get evidence on the crimes that are committed here by the people who are supposed to be enforcing the law that can sometimes overlook the people who need protection most, is unacceptable. And if you guys don't have the accountability to the people you're supposed to be representing, what are you here for? So this is me. My grandparents were the ones who were affected by this racism, and I am back to stand up for my community. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. All right. Do I see any other hands? If I don't, we'll close the public input item. And the next item is a public hearing. I'm going to open a public hearing. The first item on the agenda is item 20, the Los Cerros subdivision time extension. And there are two resolutions before us. And Dara, will you be providing a report tonight?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one moment. I'll have the presentation up.
Not that it matters, but we don't have anything on this screen, is it? Well, that. Oh, there we go. Now we do. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. My name is Dara Dunworth, City of Rockland Planning Division. The item before you this evening, the Los Cerros time extension, consists of a request for an extension of time for the currently entitled Los Cerros subdivision project. There are no changes to the approved project with this request. The extension would give the developer a year to continue working through the improvement plan process. The approved project includes the tentative subdivision map, an oak tree preservation plan permit, and a tentative parcel map to subdivide the approximately 144-acre site into 115 single-family residential lots, three open space parcels, and remove three oak trees. The subject property is generally located between Clover Valley Road and Argonaut Avenue at the terminus of Hillside Drive. A mitigated negative declaration of environmental impacts was previously approved by the Rockland City Council through Resolution 2015-62, and the requested time extension does not result in any environmental impacts beyond those that were previously identified. If anyone has been through that part of town, you will have noted that site work that was approved with a grading permit is progressing as weather has permitted. While the improvement plans for the final construction drawings are currently moving through the review process, the developer has been working on the construction documents for the first or the westerly phase of the development, and they are close to having them ready and approved, but we just aren't quite there yet. The second phase also requires this time extension so that it doesn't expire in the meantime as well. Extensions of time are increasingly routine for subdivision approvals, as the complexity and detail required of construction documents has increased over the years. The applicant is seeking this extension to allow them more time to complete the improvement plan process, finish the construction of the improvements, and record the final map. Staff finds this request to be consistent with the existing general plan and further finds the proposed subdivision to be compatible with the existing and anticipated development of the surrounding properties. May I answer any questions at this time?
Thank you, Dara. I'm sure we have some questions or down here. Any questions? Okay. I don't have any questions particularly either. It's the same project that we reviewed and approved in the past. Is there anyone else that is going to be speaking tonight? Or
the applicant is present if you have any questions or would like to hear from him.
Would the applicant care to address? All right, please, if you could, come.
Thank you. My name is Brendan Leonard. I'm the project manager. I work with David Ragland, who you may know. He couldn't make it tonight on account of a family medical situation and sends his regards. To just clarify the timing here, we know that, you know, extensions of this nature, are sometimes controversial because what you originally approved hasn't come to full fruition yet. But as we stand today, we plan on starting grading again in May. We don't have an exact date, but we're working on it. Our underground contractor is out there periodically checking in on the site, making sure that the job site is clean and that our stormwater pollution prevention measures are in place. And they're just monitoring the rock and the dirt for when they can start getting out there and finishing up the grading. We do anticipate coming back to record the final map near the end of the year. But because we don't know exactly when we can start yet as a result of the weather delays, we don't have an exact date for that time. But I can work with staff to provide those details as we're able to schedule them out. Other than that, thank you for allowing me to speak here tonight. Your staff has been great to work with, as always, and I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Okay. Does council have any questions? Question? Okay. Thank you. All right, this is a public hearing, and now's an opportunity for anyone in the public to speak to this item. And if
so, excuse me, Mr. Mayor, before someone speaks, I just want to put on the record that I did have an ex parte meeting for informational purposes only with the applicant prior to tonight.
Thank you for that. I'll too will disclose I did a week ago, I think, have a ex parte meeting as well.
Mr. Mayor, I'll also participated in an ex parte meeting with the applicant, and it was informational only.
Okay, thank you.
Please. I'll go ahead and add to that I had a phone call with the applicant. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you for your patience.
Sure. Mayor, City Councilman, my name is Richard Schultz. I live on Argonaut Avenue in Rockland. I guess there's not a lot to say. This is probably fairly routine. The only question I'd have is, and correct me if I'm incorrect, this was approved in February of 2015. The applicant developer held meetings with the community 3 months prior to that. I didn't notice construction starting, groundwork starting until August of 2016. Seems to me like the applicant has kind of caused their own delay, and I think they ought to be held accountable for it. And I think that any future delays, they should be held accountable for it. We as citizens are putting up with the mess that has been created, the construction work, and perhaps something in the line of a performance bond might be requested to see to it that there isn't another extension and another extension and another extension. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Maybe the city attorney, I could defer as well, but the law does provide a maximum number of extensions. Thank you.
Yeah,
extensions.
That is correct, Mr. Mayor. The Subdivision Map Act state law does provide for developers to come forward and ask for extensions on projects that have been previously approved, and the city council's ability to act on those matters is pretty limited. It's not an opportunity to rehear a project. It does not provide an opportunity to add new conditions. It's basically the decision is whether to grant the extension or not.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I hear some folks in the back. Is there anyone else that cares to speak to this item? Sir?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to express some opinions regarding the Los Cerros project. My name is David Harry. I'm a 25-plus year resident in Rockland and a residential property owner on Clover Valley Road, and my property is immediately adjacent to the Los Cerros development property. And I submitted at the time when public opinion was permitted a detailed document, and I won't go into any of the issues there. But the approved MND, in my opinion, has a couple rather inexplicit items that need to be further clarified. You'll all recall the original project had approximately 150 homes, and then that was reduced down to 115 homes with a three adjacent parcels to my property that are designated as open space. Unfortunately, however, the MND is very inexplicit in what that designation open space means. Is that going to mean that the developer will deed the property to the city of Rockland and then it will be designated as open space? Will it be formally zoned as open space? And the reason I raise that issue now is because in light of projects like the Rockland Golf Course, where there is a number of controversial issues regarding redesignation of the use of property, I think this is a matter that is important to look at and have very careful designation. So as we move forward, we would remove any misconceptions about what might ultimately happen with that property. I, for one, and plan to live a good long life there on Clover Valley and would hate to see that become like the Oakland Hills, where every so-called, quote, unbuildable property becomes a million-dollar mansion. So I would ask the council, in your reconsideration of extending the MND and the approval, that you ask for a very explicit and careful designation of what the open space would mean in terms of its zoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. All right, then I'll close public hearing and bring it back to council. And
Mr. Mayor, I move make a motion to approve item 20A, resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland approving a one-year time extension of a tentative subdivision map and Oak Tree Preservation Plan permit Locera subdivision time extension SD-2013-09 TRE-2013-33.
I'm Councilmember, I'm told by our legal counsel that we could take both of these resolutions in one, so if you care to.
Okay, and then I'll add to my motion item 20B, resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland approving a one-year term extension, time extension of a tentative parcel map, Los Cerros subdivision time extension DL-2013-04.
I'll second the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second for item 20A and B. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. And thank you for the input from the public. Item number 21. This is a first reading and publication by our city attorney.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. This item is an introduction of an ordinance amending Chapter 5.17 of the Municipal Code relating to the state video franchises. And the purpose of this ordinance is to clarify and amend the franchise fee requirements and to reauthorize the public education and government access fee, and also to reauthorize the what's called the PEG channels. So basically, what this ordinance does is it maintains the status quo. The city is currently collecting a 5% franchise fee from the cable providers within the community. The franchise fee can be 0 to 5%, and what this ordinance confirms is that the existing 5% franchise fee will continue. The other thing that this ordinance accomplishes is the city has the ability to collect what's called a 1% PEG fee, and that money can be used in order to construct capital facilities in order to provide public education and government broadcasting to the community. This ordinance does not impose that 1% fee, but it sets the groundwork and reaffirms your ability to collect that fee in the future if you so desire by way of the adoption of a resolution. And the last thing that this does is there's currently two PEG channels within the community, and this establishes the fact that the city has the right to request up to three PEG channels. That's for public education and government broadcasting within the community. So bottom line is this really maintains the status quo. It's a step that we need to take every time the state franchises are renewed, which they are being renewed at this point in time. The next time we'll have to do this will be in about 10 years. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, council, any questions?
Just clarification on the 1% fee. So if down the road there was a desire to assess that fee, would that be assessed on the ratepayers or on the supplier or the vendor, the actual ratepayer?
Yeah, so actually it would we would collect the money from the cable companies, but they have the right to pass that rate through, and they also have the right to show that 1% on the bills that they send to their customers.
Okay, great. Thank
so it would probably be a pass-through.
Sure, thanks.
But just for clarification, this doesn't appear to change anything that we're currently doing at all, with the exception of maybe getting that third PEG channel, or is that in the current franchises as well?
The 1% is not, and we're not asking you to take any action on that tonight. We're just making you aware of its potential, and it, you know, may or may not come forward at a later time.
Yeah, I'm just saying all three little things here.
The balance
all
of it's already constituted.
Already, okay.
Questions here? Any questions or comments from the public? Okay. We have item 21 before us, Council. It's your pleasure.
Well, if I may, I'll, at the direction of our city attorney, I'll give this a shot. I'll move to introduce an ordinance amending Chapter 5.17 of the Rockland Municipal Code, State Video Service Franchises, to clarify and amend franchise fee requirements and to reauthorize the Public Educational and Government Access, PEG, fee, and waive the full reading of the ordinance and continue to the next regular meeting for adoption.
Second.
Okay.
I think I have a second by Councilmember Gallardo. All right, we have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. All right, item 22, city-owned property surplus list reconsiderations. Will I be hearing from our city manager, Mr. Horst?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. At the request of the City Council, it was asked that we revisit the surplus properties list, which currently has only three properties remaining on the list, inclusive to the West Oaks property near Cathelon Park, the Bush Street Railroad Tracks parcel off of Pacific, and the West Oaks parcel east of Sunset, which was also another former fire station site. It's a little confusing. Original site was at the acre near Kathy Lund, and then it moved across the way, and then it ended up eventually being built out at Wildcat. I do want to add to my staff report some information that I just received today based on some additional research that Karen and her team did. There is one other item I wish to bring your attention. In April, April of 2004, a group of girls' softball teams came in asking for additional ballparks at what is now Cathelon Park. So staff was directed to work on that, and as a part of that, they presented a master plan that also provided for the possibility of a dog park on this particular 1.1 acres. So that set there from 2004. And in 2011, the decision was made to eventually move forward and build the dog park. But at that time, the council made the decision, based on the staff at that time's recommendation, to move it to Johnson Springview for a lot of reasons, to include the fact that it was less costly and already had restrooms on the site and water was on the site and so forth and so on. So my report missed that, and I appreciate Karen's research and wanted to add that to the record tonight. There has been no plans otherwise, though, for this particular acre. So the three properties, again, are West Oaks east of Sunset. This is about an acre, but it's less than an acre of usable property because it falls off into the ravine rather sharply on the back. This property, we've received no interest until, frankly, in the last week or two, and we have had a meeting a couple of days ago who have expressed some interest in possibly buying the property for an office site, but we have nothing formal at this point in time. The second is the Bush Street Railroad Tracks property. The Jack Kesty Family Trust owns the front of the property, and the city owns a narrow track that abuts the railroad tracks. We have had a party who has under contract with the Jack Kesty Family Trust to purchase the frontage of that property, and they've approached us about the possibility of purchasing that back track. That back track was originally purchased for the purpose of extending parking lot for the train station. Subsequently to that, some years ago, about 5 years ago now, the city elected to build the parking lot addition as presently constituted, which kept parking closer to the site and cleaned up some of the blighted areas in and around the train station. And then, of course, the last piece being the Kathy Lund site, known as the West Oaks Lot 30, which was the subject of discussion. So I can get in detail in the report if you like. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Staff still retains our position that the property should remain on the surplus property list. That certainly is your directive to change if you desire, and if so, incorporate it into the park or designate other uses for the property. I think the main reason for this, though, is You know, we're all tasked to find that right balance between the things that create the quality of life and those things that are fun and good and those things that are by necessity. And certainly finding the right balance between public safety and road maintenance and park maintenance and all those type of things are critical, especially when you have limited resources and when we're getting close to build out, when we know that our new revenues will not be generated as easily as they have been in the past. So you have the information before you, and staff stands ready to take whatever direction you desire to give. The item for you tonight is really whether or not this property or any of the three properties remain on the surplus property list or not, and or any other direction you wish to give us.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Would anyone particularly like to have a first question here?
I don't have any questions, just some comments when we get to that point.
Okay. Any questions over here?
No, I have no questions.
No questions, just comments.
Okay. Can I also, I have a question just again to remind me of when does the park assessment, current park assessment that we have on the books, when does that end?
It expires in 19, but it would have to be on the ballot in 18. So about 18 months from now.
Okay. And the current park budget, roughly?
Current park budget, well, about 20% of the park budget is covered by the park tax. We are funding, the rest of it is covered by CFDs and LNLs, but we are funding, I think it's $600,000 roughly, Karen, out of general fund dollars presently. The park tax is at $30 per residence per year. And some of the CFDs are capped. There'll be no future increases for them or with them.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Do you have any comments, public?
You guys do need me back.
It wouldn't be the same without you, Ken.
Hi, Ken Yorty. Been in Rockland for quite a few years. I'm here to talk about Parcel 30. And my position hasn't changed. I don't think the city should be in a position, as a matter of policy, to be selling RC general plan property. To me, I can't believe that. You could say it's been vacant will be vacant for another 25 years. It's been vacant for thousands of years, and it was all okay. So, I mean, what's another 25 years in the big picture of things? I had a question about the Quimby Act and the Quimby park fees, and we just went through a whole process of rezoning property from commercial and light industrial to housing. Did we collect Quimby park fees from those developments?
Those fees and our property in lieu will be collected when they come in with a subdivision map or plan.
So there is, we will get some fees, Quimby fees for parks when they develop that.
We don't call them Quimby fees, but yes, there's park fees assessed to new development.
They're kind of authorized. If you read this guide to California planning, I'd recommend you all have a copy of that. Yeah. It's probably the best concise book of California planning that I've found.
Yeah, we have two park impact fees that are collected on new development. But both of those have been in the red for the last 8 years. One of them may go into the black sometime later this year. The other one's still 2 or 3 years out.
I think it would be a hard sell to, when the park fee comes back up for election, to convince the citizens of the Rockland community that you sold off property and now you're asking us to reassess that, and the rationale for selling it off was to maybe use it for other parks. So to me, I just think that you should be doing that. I don't think you got a good idea of what Rockland wants and what's good for the long term Rockland. I mean, I've been here a long time. I've got a granddaughter who lives here. Some of it's going to be here long yet. I don't think I'm going to fall over tomorrow, but anyway, that's my comment. That hasn't changed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Anyone else? Well, I heard we have some comments. Would somebody like to start with any comments? Over here, up to my right.
Yes. Well, first of all, I just want to say that I hope Mr. Yorty does not fall over tomorrow. So
I'll second that.
All right. Well, it's not on the agenda, so I'm not sure we could do that. I just wanted to sum up front that my opinion hasn't changed on this. Well, sorry, we're talking about three different surplus properties here. Two of them have no issues with. The third one, the Kathy Lund Park parcel, my opinion hasn't changed. I do want to say that I did have a meeting with Brentwood, and that there is a terrific product out there that that was a concept, and I'm glad to have them in the community, and it was really a beautiful product. I also appreciate Brad and his team working on the contract items that I suggested at the last council meeting in the event that this remains on the surplus list. I just wanted to say, just acknowledge those. So once discussion and everybody makes comments complete, I will be making or supporting a motion to remove the parcel. For a few reasons. One is I worry about the precedent we're setting for other undeveloped parklands and open spaces. We do have others in Rockland. I did listen to the Parks Commission meeting a few weeks ago where they discussed this property, and I think everybody knows that they voted 4-0 to, it says in the report, to retain this piece of property. And actually one of the commissioners brought the maps from a long time ago that talk about the particular zoning, and from my understanding, I haven't seen the maps. I didn't go to that meeting, but it's not inconsistent to say that that was always intended to be a park. I also, appreciate the feedback from the Parks Commission. I take that to heart, their decision. And also, finally, my gut just tells me if I surveyed the community, and I have done so informally, of course, I ask people, even with my biases included, but I think people would want to retain that land. I know staff would appreciate, us to, dictate future uses for that land. The truth is I don't have any at the moment. Our community is still growing, and, when the time is right, whether it's 25 years or another 1,000 years, we'll find the right thing to put there.
Anyone? Greg, I didn't mean to pass you up. I asked over on the right first, if that's okay.
Oh, okay. I supported these properties on the surplus list before, and I still support them. Pertaining to the one at Kathy Lund Park, I look at this as a unique, small piece of property. I don't see it as kind of starting to go on and further rezone park property. So it's just a unique piece that we may have an opportunity to do something with that can benefit the community in a different way. So I support keeping that on the list as well as the other two.
Okay, thank you. Over here, either one of you.
Sure, I'll go. Thank you. I think first I was one of the folks on the council that had asked that we pull this off and look at it and review. The concern I had is I just didn't feel like I had enough information. And then anytime we have a resource like that, I want to make sure, as we're finishing out Rockland, I want to make sure that what we do is quite special. And that there, what I'd asked is, could we run it by Parks and Rec to see, did they have a suggestion? And I was hoping that maybe they had an idea of something that they had in mind maybe to use it for. I spent some time, also met with Brentwood, also went out there and walked the property. I think, too, in my mind, it was like, this is park property we're giving up, but realistically, this was a fire station piece of property that we determined not to use for the fire station. And so I wanted to know, could we incorporate it in the park? Would it bring us some benefit? It's a ways out there. If you've gone out and walked it, it's a long way from the ball field. It's an acre. I get it. It's not large enough for another ball field. Parking's always an issue at our parks, especially on, we were out there for the softball opening, those big events. It's pretty far. I'll admit it. It's pretty far. After I've spent some time, what I want is to see that property work for us. And I have come to the conclusion that right now it's not benefiting us at all. If we have an opportunity to get some income from this piece and use it for another park, so we're getting something out of it, so it's just not a vacant piece of property, then I would feel comfortable with the previous council's work that determined that this was surplus property, and maybe we could use that for there. But the caveat I have is I want to know what we're going to use that money for in our other park and make sure it specifically benefits another park.
Okay. Thank you, council member. Mr. Vice Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. So I did have an opportunity also to meet with Brentwood. Discussions were informational in nature, explained a bit about what their thoughts were relative to the property. What I will say is we have three properties here in front of us, and as it relates to those three properties and our surplus list, there's some things that make a lot of sense, and there's some things that make no sense. And what makes a lot of sense is we have a piece of property that's adjacent to a storage facility and an extremely large warehouse across the street. There is a PD, light industrial zoning, associated with that, as well as a general plan classification of light industrial. Makes perfect sense for that property to be listed as surplus property and something that we can make available and utilize. We have a second property, which is the Bush Street property, which is currently classified C4 zoning and mixed use in the general plan. Again, makes perfect sense. Put that on your list. Where I run into a challenge is we have a piece of property, and that property is zoned as open space and part of our park in the zoning. We can put a name on there called Fire Department or Fire Station, but that's really not part of our zoning. And then we have recreational conservation as the general plan. And I can find no justification in what our state writes relative to how we manage open space, what we have historically as a city listed as our desire to manage our open space, and what our county looks for us to do with our management of open space, that we would take property that we have that is currently open space in Rockland and sell that property with an understanding that that's going to be developed and built in an area that essentially has a softball field just to the west of it, and it has a stream and open space to the east and the south of it. So to me, even if one wants to say that that has a distance, I've walked those fields for 15 years coaching young ladies from the age of 4.5 to 16 years old, and I've walked from the furthest stretches of that field, and it's not that far. And so when I look at options that we have, if we sell it, we have no options. We have no option to look at that as a dog park. We have no option to look at that as an area that individuals can utilize for exercise. We have no option to utilize that for parking. We have none because it's gone. So for me, the two properties, I have no issue with. Their current zoning allows for it, would definitely justify it, but I can see no sense in selling a piece of property, leaving it on this list, and selling a piece of property that is clearly, to me, part of our open space, part of our parks. And so I would ask that that piece of property be moved from the surplus list.
All right. First, let me also state for the record that I did have an ex parte meeting with the Brentwood folks. Again, just no decisions were made, just informational only. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Mr. Former Mayor Ken Yorty out there, and we have a lot of conversations frequently about this very item. And I have a great deal of respect for our Park and Recs and Arts Commission as well. But I have to say I have had the benefit of sitting through years ago grueling budget meetings, which is what spawned this whole conversation about the surplus properties. I have a tremendous concern about the strain on our budget that our parks and our open space how it affects our budget. And our open space is absolutely valuable. It's an asset. It's part of our community. It's a quality of life issue that we need to do everything we can to maintain that. But we need to be able to pay for that. And so I, you know, looked through this with a lot of reasoning and last go around, and I guess I differ somewhat with our vice mayor that I understand that that's property that would have not been used for open space had a fire department been built or a fire station been built on that. It made sense then to be able to sell that if that property could be used to also benefit and bolster the other parks. I'm very proud of the fact that the open space per resident is among the highest. if you analyze that anywhere, I mean, it's not as though we're not preserving open space. We do a tremendous job at preserving open space, and it's a commitment and a priority. And if you took this without looking at the parcel, and if you step back and just said, "Hey, should we sell off our open space?" Nobody's going to buy that. I wouldn't buy that. I wouldn't support that reasoning. But when you look at that space, and when there's not really any particular even a notion of what it could be used for, talk about maybe a parking lot, and I don't know how that actually helps the open space just to put up a parking lot. So, I mean, I've not been moved otherwise since I made the decision last time. It's not sacrificing a great deal of open space. In fact, technically, it's not sacrificing open space, zoned open space at all. I get the picture, but we also spent some time at the last budget or the last go-around about enhancing Johnson Springview Park and the water park. When we closed it here, had a conversation of when that of investing there. I can't recall roughly what would that cost if we were to put a water park over there? About $350,000. Okay. So there are some financial, in my opinion, there are some financial benefits to selling the property, as we agreed collectively as a council previously, albeit it was under a time when there was, the economy was quite strained. But it made sense to me then, and it makes sense to me now, that we can help the better, the larger park structure by selling the small parcel that, again, would not, might add a parking lot, could add a few trails and things like that. I get that. But economically, that for me still makes sense. And another point, I think I'm the only council member here with the benefit of watching strikes, the Bullion, go bankrupt. There were other businesses that built out there a little bit ahead of the curve prior to the economy crashing, but there are no rooftops as well. So many of those businesses are affected by that and are actually happy to see some more shoppers that in their neighborhood. I just had my car worked on this week, just over here for Granite somewhere. And the owner of that property said that his business is up considerably since some of the new residents have moved into that area there, and he's quite pleased. So I think collectively we're not sacrificing a great deal of open space, as it's been called, and I'm still persuaded that there's a good financial reason and a fair trade-off to support keeping these all on the list.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, for as a point of clarification, can I ask a question of staff?
Sure, of course.
Okay, because the statement was made that we're not giving up open space or recreation conservation land. So can I have a staff member clarify for me the current zoning and general plan designations for that parcel?
Rick, is it in your staff report? I haven't looked at your staff report.
No, Brett's not here. I believe the general plan or the specific plan for that entire development called it. Actually, I think I do have it back here. Give me a moment to look at it.
Okay.
And again, as Rick's looking for that, I think what he's looking for, again, is the specific plan for that area, looking at the zoning for the specific, not the citywide zoning, the specific plan for that area.
So because I show, based on the maps that we've utilized in the past, that the general plan classification is RC, for recreation, conservation, and the zoning is OS. So
my recollection is that the specific plan is fire station slash, but hopefully Rick has that. I wasn't prepared. I don't have that.
I think that fire station appears to be placed on top of the park open space designation in the zoning, at least on all the maps that I have.
I don't know that it's on the website. I think it's in the specific plan document that we have.
The specific plan document, which was approved in 1995, I think it was, lists as the following statement. Developer shall provide an irrevocable offer dedication to the city for the 1 acre City of Rockland Fire Station site lot 30A. And it talks about that. And then there's a map that identifies it as fire station commercial in the plan. But the plan does also say that if the event that it would not be used, the city could elect to incorporate it into the park.
Okay.
So it does indicate both possibilities.
Okay.
And yes, it generally gets lumped under the RC.
Mr. Mayor, you made some compelling comments in terms of our fiscal situation, and actually I've been thinking a lot about our ongoing costs to operate the city are going to continue to increase, and maybe our staff has been doing a great job at increasing our revenue, and hopefully that trajectory continues. We did have an offer on this property, as you know, and that the price on that property was $500,000, which isn't anything to sneeze at. That's a lot of money. You know, I wish I had that in my checking account right now. But in the grand scheme of things, and our city budget, whether it's 1 year, 25 years, or 1,000 years, it's not going to move the needle. But what I do think moves the needle for me is, just giving up, losing the opportunity to incorporate that into for indefinitely, forever. And so that really, that my personal, gets at me. But if the will of the council is to keep it on the surplus list, I would like if we move forward with those discussions that we actually, I don't want to see it just absorbed into the budget, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't need to elaborate on that, but I think we can all agree that that obviously would be generated from what I believe is a parkland, and would like to see it sort of put back into that category, not absorbed into the budget. And obviously we'd have more discussions on that in the future. But again, just to summarize, and I won't say anything else, promise, I don't want to lose the opportunity, for future generations because of, relatively small number in the grand scheme of things. So thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I want to agree with Councilmember Patterson. I don't want to see the funds absorbed into the daily ongoing. This is a one-time money piece, and I'd like to see something with impact done at our – I say I'm probably the last person that wants to give up open space, but I would like to see if I'm giving up fire department property that was unused and my choice is to absorb it into a park, or I'm not seeing a benefit or taking it and using it as one-time money to benefit one of our other parks. I want to see something that we – so this is working for us. I agree, hold on. I don't want it to go into ongoing maintenance. This has to be something that we get out of that for our community.
Well, I agree, too, that – and I'm in fact, I mean, that for me, that was the foregone conclusion. We've had numbers of conversations about about if it were sold, that it would go directly into the park system. I mean, like I said, we have the park assessment that will expire in 2018. If that doesn't pass again, there's another $600,000 a year that's not coming in to maintain the parks. And there's plenty of places to spend the money in our park system, which we value a great deal, and the open space, which we value a great deal, and this gives us that opportunity to, I think, do that. So if I understand this, you need direction, the action before us is, I mean, there's a number of ways you could approach this. Leave one on the property list, keep some of them.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to remove fire lot, the lot 30 from the surplus list and keep the other two remaining.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a subsequent motion to just leave all three on the surplus property list.
I just got to make this one. I'll second that motion.
I don't know why this topic generates these.
I know. We're going to have multiple motions on this every time.
Go, Ken.
So just for clarification, I'll ask our city attorney. That subsequent motion exists if the first motion fails.
So it's a substitute motion. If it gets a second, then that motion would be voted on first.
Okay. All right. Well.
So okay. Was there a second? I'm sorry.
So there's a subsequent motion to retain all the properties on the list.
Trumped me.
And I second.
Okay. So the subsequent motion has been moved and seconded. So we take a vote on the subsequent motion first?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So the subsequent motion of keeping all properties as presented on the surplus list before us, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay. Aye.
Do we need a roll call vote, Barbara?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I was saying that as clarification for our...
No, that's fine. Thank you. I want to make sure. The motion carries 3-2. And I have to say, I'm uncomfortable with that process. I'd rather see the vote go through and then restart. But I respect for some reason this item has generated that.
I'm not so offended, and okay. I'm sure
all right.
You are.
Oh, not.
So. Yeah, it is rare. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and thank you for everybody's input. And I hope everyone knows that the best interest of the community is, in all of our hearts. Okay. Moving on to item 23, brief announcements or brief reports. And I think Councilmember Patterson, I know you.
Yeah. So about a month ago, came to my attention that folks who live on green belts in Whitney Ranch were not. I don't think it's only in Whitney Ranch, but the fencing in Whitney Ranch. We're unable to get swimming pools through final inspection. This has to do with two factors. One is the way the fence was constructed and and the second one is how that relates to Rockland's ordinance, which is more strict than state law. So I want to thank both Fred and Mark for going to meet with residents. Actually, they did that on their own before even anybody contacted me about this, and also Eric Anderson, who works with the developer out there in Whitney Ranch, and Rick and staff for working on this issue. But I think we can expect for staff to bring forward an ordinance modification at a future council meeting that protects public safety, that we're still going to have to comply with state law, and also allows folks living on the green belt who have constructed pools to get the final inspection. So I don't know if city manager has anything to add to that. But
thank you, Councilman. First, thanks to you for bridging the gap with the conversations with many of our citizens. Council, our intent would be just some slight modifications that allow for greater flexibility to meet the safety requirements as imposed by the state, rather than less being a little more overbearing. Certainly citizens have the right to do more if they so choose. Our intent is, because this is, we have a lot of people whose contractors are waiting, we will probably bring back a, for lack of a better term, correct me, Steve, a resolution of intent at the next meeting, more than likely on the consent agenda, which you can pull if you so desire, which sets forth the pattern to go back through the Planning Commission and then back to you to formalize this amendment. But in the meantime, gives the pool owners and contractors a little sense of relief in the meantime.
Is there a specific issue or problem or conflict?
So basically the way the fences are on green belts, at least in the Whitney Ranch area, and I don't know about other places in town, but the fence is about 3 feet high, brick, and then there's a little gap, and then it's 3 feet barrier, and there's actually a ledge where people can put their foot on it and hop over the fence from the outside. And so the CC&R is out in Whitney Ranch, of course, you know, you can't modify the outside of the fences, and plus that's kind of an expensive venture anyways. But like, for example, the state law would allow things called a water intrusion alarm. So if people enter, so not only would you need the fence like we currently have around the pools, but a water intrusion system where if somebody jumps into the pool, an alarm goes off in the house notifying that there's intrusion. So it's actually two safety mechanisms instead of one. But it really has to do with the way the fence was constructed.
Okay. Well, I hear that maybe a future agenda item. Is that going to approach that as? Okay. Council? All right. Thank you. Anything more? Council member? All right. City manager report.
You notice there was not one in the packet because the packet went out the day I returned from vacation. But if you'd like me to make up things for the next half hour, 45 minutes, I'd be happy to do that.
Let me take a vote. Does anybody want the city manager to ramble on for a half hour?
No.
Okay.
You'll have an extra long one in the next packet.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just miss the opportunity to thank the fire department. Had the opportunity to go to the Easter egg hunt every year. Yeah. And it's fabulous. Our crew works so hard, and they do such a great job with thousands of people out there and keeping everybody organized. And we don't have any of those horror stories that you see at the other places. But I really appreciate the work that they do and the expense. And the kids were thrilled. Weather held off literally to the last minute, and they did a fabulous job again. So please thank them for us.
Thank you for that. All right, City Attorney Communications. Nothing said. All right. Future agenda items, which we kind of started to touch on. Anyone over here to my left? Future agenda items. I wanted to add this to the future agenda items that actually just today, PCWA, our water provider, gave a presentation to largely city staff and opened it up to council. But Einar Mache, the director, give a really nice presentation on, noting that they are our provider and that they are an extension of the city, frankly. It was good. It was very good, good because it provided some historical perspective as to how PCWA came to be and how it works, some of the drought issues, regulatory issues. And I'd like to offer Director Mache to come back and give possibly an abbreviated version to council. If council would like to hear that. Okay. So thank you. Future strategic planning items, any items? Any public financing authority? No action tonight. City Council acting as successor agency, item 27, no action tonight. Next item, item 28, is our closed session item. It's a conference with the real property negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8, property. Rockland Golf Course, 4201 Midas Avenue. City Negotiator, Rick Horst, City Manager. Negotiating Parties, Joe Sayufi. And under negotiation, price and terms of sale. So we will, would anybody care to need a break, or can we go right into? We can go right into closed session. I did not ask for public comment on that. And Mr. Schultz, you come on up if you would. Sorry.
Again, Richard Schultz, Rockland. I didn't want to wait all this time to not have a chance to give my opinion. This seems kind of backwards in terms of what has taken place over the past month or 6 weeks to have a council meeting to plan for a community forum, have that community forum date changed twice
once when it was set at the council meeting, another April 24th, and now to May 8th or 9th, I believe. And now you're going into negotiation on the property with the owner. That seems backwards to me. It seems to me like you should have the community forum first and then go into some kind of negotiation. And it's in closed session, as Councilman Patterson pointed out. It seems disingenuous in terms of the council's approach to this. So that's my comment, and I'm just kind of wondering what's going on.
That, you know, if you'd like, that's a fair question, and I'd like to direct that to the city attorney.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor and council members, I just want to clarify that, I mean, this is a broad discussion, but, you know, where we are right now is this item is an opportunity for the city manager to provide updated information to the city council to get some level of direction. It does not necessarily imply that there are active negotiations occurring between the property owner and the city, which in fact is not the case. So this is just an opportunity under the Brown Act for a confidential discussion relating to the latest information relating to this matter and for the council to provide direction to the manager.
And if I may, the wording on the agenda is required to be put that way by law. We would choose different wording if we could.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schultz, for comment. Anyone else? Okay, then we'll go into closed session.